good to be with everyone today, and we're going to get right into the content. I know that schedules are pressed, and it is entitled Optimizing Subscription Paths, How to Improve Results by 59% or More. I'd like to just point out for you that this is about something deeper and more fundamental than just subscription paths. Many of you that are on the line, even if you have an e-commerce site or a service-oriented site or a sign-up form, any one of these, even lead gen and demand gen, can benefit from what we're going to talk about in just a few minutes. I want to address a key principle, something that's been a bit of a revelation here through all of our experimentation and testing. I just came back from a trip where I was meeting with University of London and colleagues from Cambridge, and I was and have been actually studying current efforts around the world to optimize processes, and it's interesting to see the tremendous research void that still exists. And I think that trickles down to the understanding that many marketers have when they go to improve a process like their subscription path or their order process. Many of us almost have a secret inferiority complex. We know that there are some people who are just magical with words. They can say the right thing, the right time, in the right way, and it's so powerful. Famous copywriters, you know, marketing gurus, and we often don't view ourselves as knowing what that magical combination of words precisely is, and so we're hesitant at times. We do the best that we can. We understand that we've got to work with the limitations that we have, but down inside, we feel like if we just knew the right word combination for a headline, if we could just discern the absolute best words to use in a call to action, then we could just push our results over the top. But I think that whole line of thinking misses one of the most important principles that I have discovered in these years of research, and we're going to talk about that principle today. We're going to use examples from subscription paths for the most part, but what you're going to see is that these examples themselves really illustrate a principle much more profound than simply how to optimize a subscription path. We're going to talk about three words, a statement you've heard me say on the phone in passing, but it's the emphasis, it's the whole point of this conversation. I have only taught this once before in New York at an event, and this is slightly modified quite a bit and from that precise presentation, but it does contain the core principle. I'm going to teach this principle using case studies and help you understand how it applies to your own situation. And then, time permitting, many of you submitted URLs that you're hoping we can look at, and we've pulled some of those URLs, and we're going to do some live optimization, applying the principles from this call directly to those websites. So keeping that in mind, let's get to the three key words. You can see them on the screen in front of you. That is clarity trumps persuasion. Clarity trumps persuasion. I want to argue that you do not need to be a genius at persuasion if you can simply take the time to study your site and achieve genuine clarity. Now, I think that statement, clarity trumps persuasion, could seem too simple for some of us. We might listen to that and think, yes, I understand I need to be clear. I think that would be a grave mistake to simply pass this by and not recognize the enormous amount of gain that you could likely get right now from your current process or path if you can understand the application of that principle. Clarity trumps persuasion. It's a phrase that appears in the Marketer's Creed, which we've written, and you can go to our website and see the Marketer's Creed. You'd have to find the link or do a search for it. But it's a whole different way to talk to your audience. And keeping that in mind, I'd like to go straight to a case study and see how all of this applies. So here we are with the background. This case study is a little non-traditional for us. Eric Stevenson submitted the landing page of cobrandnews.com to us for live optimization. Now, it was an event like we're going to be doing at the end of this call if we have time. And he said, can you look at our site? And we, on the fly, pulled up his site, and we began to look at it. Have you ever wondered what goes through the mind of Jimmy Ellis or Aaron Rosenthal, some of our core experts here, when they're looking at your site, and so swiftly they start talking about, you need to make this change, you need to change this, you need to change that. How are they thinking? What is causing their attention to move from one point to another? What's the process beneath that, or the principle beneath the process? Many, many times, one of the most important guiding principles, something that connects with that heuristic we've developed, the conversion sequence. Many of you are familiar with that. It looks like a math formula. It is not. It's a cognitive psychology heuristic. If you're not familiar with it, look it up on the site at Marketing Experiments. It's free. I mean, all that's free. There's nothing I can think of that's for sale there. But you can read about it so that I don't have to explain it right now, the conversion sequence. Underneath even that is a fundamental principle, and one of those key guiding principles that takes place and that was taking place when we looked at the co-brand news site was this simple thought, clarity trumps persuasion. So we looked at Eric's page, and we started making recommendations. Now, before I show you those, it's very important to see what he had to say about his page. They offer a fully customizable news headline feed, and it permits users to include their logo in creating it for free. This gives users a chance to make news feeds and allows them to use their logo. And so it's like a branding tool. And Steve, or Eric, gave us this background information so that we could think about his page, and then we looked at the page. So here I have in front of you a page. If this is your first time on a call, we recommend you use the question and answer feature in the little tool window. I'm going to ask you, my audience, to tell me what are the core changes you would make to this page. So take a quick look. Someone says the headline. Better headline, one column. Good, George. Simplified text from Brian. iPath is disjointed, says Ryan. Two graphics, Travis says. The banner, Lisa says. Too much text, says Larry. Goodness sakes, I recognize that, Larry. That's Larry Dunville, I think it is. Welcome to the call, partner. better organization, Brandon. Too many elements, says Greg. Less text, for sure, says George. Scream out the benefit. Not clear what the service does. Again, that's someone else says disjointed. That's my Michelle or Michael. Michelle. So your advice is good. To discipline it. We need to know what to think of first, second, and third. And I'm going to take this principle of clarity trumps persuasion and break it down into three core questions. But before I do that, let's see what our team thought about this page. And this is actual comments from the recorded transcript in the live optimization. iPath, make it vertical. Don't ask visitors to read side to side. With a strong image on both the left and the right, visitors are confused about how to read the page. This was a comment from one of our experts. Increase the size of the font. It's not immediately clear what you're doing. State what the product is in the headline. Now, you should understand from that in everything we've said, there is a common denominator. Keep thinking, clarity trumps persuasion. If I was in my lecture hall and you were all there in front of me, I think I'd have you chanting it if I could, because I want you to come away from this call with this truth just burned into your thinking process. Add credibility indicators. Test something different in the headline. The next page is a simple four-field form to set up the process. Don't make them click to get there. Include the form on the landing pages. These were all, this all represents the kind of advice that our team gave Eric. Now, let's see what he did with it. We did not design this page. Kudos to Eric for paying close attention to what we said and then implementing it with an intelligent design. This is the new page. So you saw the before, you saw the after. Let's look at the before and after together. You can see that it's cut off. It goes a little longer than what we have here so that it'll fit on the slide, but you get the gist of the page. So Eric was quick to implement, and this is what happened. These are the results he tested, and we have these are quotes from the email we received. Conversion rate rose from 3.9% to 6.6% over 30 days. 69% relative difference. That also took the opportunity to target, we mentioned this in the live optimization, target the paid click advertising on those keywords which were more relevant and cut out those which were not productive. And that reduced the ad spend by 60%, but it increased conversion 200%. So 10 minutes of live optimization like we'll be doing at the end of the call, And this is what Eric was able to achieve. I want to point out that it's not necessary for us to take this important time at the call to try and make our team look smart or intelligent or capable. That's not the point. The point is that there was a method beneath that advice, and I want to share that method with you. There was a principle. There was a maximum, and I want to break that down for you. But the other point is that nothing we said would have done one bit of good had Eric not gone back and applied it. So congratulations again to you, Eric, and well done. Let's learn. When anyone comes to a web page, there are three cognitive voids in the visitor's mind. Where am I is the first question you have to make certain that they are clear about. If you do not make that certain, they stutter, they hesitate, they try and ascertain if they're on the right kind of page. It's very important. I'll come back to it. The next question they want to understand is, what can I do here? What can I buy here? What is the offer? I don't really think I would ask, what is your offer? I think if I was rewriting this and Hunter, our editor's on the line, I'd phrase the question better. Now, Hunter, I know you got this from me as you were, you know, putting this together, but I think my question would be, what can I do here, or what can I get here, or what can you do for me? It's a very personal question, and it's instinctively formed. The moment they come to the page, you have about 3 seconds. If you can't answer the first two questions in 3 seconds, you're in significant trouble. Many, many times I click off an ad, come to the page, and suddenly you're lost. You're supposed to sign up for a conference here, but how? Or you come to a page that looks like it offers a free trial. When you get to the page, you see a whole bevy of credit cards. Free trial is not emphasized. You're not even sure what happened. You didn't think you had to pay for this opportunity. Where am I is huge, and we neglect it. We don't know how to use the parts of our page to answer these thoughts right. Remember something, optimization takes place in the mind, not on the web page. People don't buy from web pages, people buy from people. When they come to your page, there's a question on their mind. That's the opportunity for you to establish a conversation. And the first thing you should help them understand is, where am I? You got to answer it. And as you do, you need to help them understand very quickly what it is you can do for them, what it is they can do for themselves at your site. Then, and only then, can you actually move to three, why should I participate? And that is where we have a problem. Let me explain. Our tendency is to rush into why before we have answered what or where. Our tendency is to quickly bombard them with reasons to purchase when they're not even clear at first what the full scope of the offering is, and worse, they're not even sure where they're at. They must know where they're at. Then they need to understand what they can do there, and only then have you earned the right to explain the why. Clarity trumps persuasion. Dave, I don't know how to pronounce your last name, but I'm reading your comment, says clarity then becomes persuasion. And you're absolutely right, Haber. Clarity then becomes persuasion. In the Marketing Experiments Creed, which I'd love to take you to and show you how this fits in a much larger set of philosophies about how we talk to people, we keep hammering, you must be clear. But the average marketer is too busy trying to be persuasive. Our tendency is to answer why before we have made the question itself relevant. You cannot tell them why before they're asking why. Now, you can't hardly do a web event like this with me without me talking or show up at one of the Marketing Sherpa conferences where I'm going to be speaking or lecture or something without me telling you that people don't buy from people. People don't buy from websites. People buy from people. Optimization is about anticipating a sequence of thoughts, and we are getting those thoughts out of sequence. We're interrupting them. We're stopping the thought sequence. We're interjecting the wrong thought at the wrong time and moving them off track with the way we design these busy web pages. We must not tell them why until they're asking. The other problem we have, and point three is an epidemic across the net, Our tendency answer why, again, why they purchase from you, their tendency to answer why is with presumed authority rather than actual credibility. The postmodern consumer hates your presumed authority. They don't believe you when you say you're the fastest. They don't believe you when you even say you're the longest or the oldest or you have the biggest selection. All of those are superlatives and adjectives that cannot be actually validated. They want you to speak in quantitative language. We have 41,613 products on our site today. My father started this company in 1934. He could have never envisioned the web, but today we're the largest provider on the internet with over 41,000. That kind of language, conversation. Now, I know that in every case, for every kind of business, you cannot have personal conversation, but there is still a way to personalize the website. And if you are going to answer questions with authority, it needs to be actual authority, not presumed, meaning if you're going to brag about yourself on your website, you're going to lose your audience. Let someone else, let a testimonial, let a third-party authority, let PC Magazine or some other media authority speak about the things you cannot quantify. The rest you only quantify with humility. Let's see how this works. Let's see how it works with Marketing Sherpa. Some of you know that Marketing Experiments is purchased Marketing Sherpa, and we work very closely on research through our MechLab Sciences group. And I want you to see a set of experiments that we've been doing to improve Marketing Sherpa. Now, this is a bit transparent. I'm not sure all of my executives wanted me to be this transparent, but let me share with you an actual test with results in a case study at Marketing Sherpa and help you see how we're optimizing it. We're currently right now running 18 experiments across Marketing Sherpa as we attempt to optimize various parts of its process. We're constantly trying to improve. So here is Marketing Sherpa membership. It offers marketers unlimited access to articles, case studies, research databases, creative samples, and other features. If you go to the Marketing Sherpa site, it'll tell you exactly how many. I think it's the largest collection in the world, but we quantify it. The research objective was to discover whether or not a feature matrix on the barrier page. Now, we've got subscription experts on the phone. Everyone knows what a barrier page is, but in case you don't, that's the page you come up against when you're trying to read an article and it interrupts you and tells you that you need to, start your free trial, etc. So here at the barrier page, people are making a decision as to actually give you any information or not so they can read the rest of the article. And the question was, do we add a feature matrix or not? The danger of a feature matrix is that it can lengthen the page dramatically. And many of you know that can be detrimental to conversion, could increase friction. So we designed a simple single factorial test, which I still have much affection for. A-B design is still one of the best designs I know of for field testing. And then we took this call to action. This is the control page. At the top, you'll see it's kind of covered by the box, but the beginning of an article. To read the rest, you have to activate your free trial. This was the original box using a form requiring a minimal amount of customer information. Now, we even had tested this form. This form was created through testing as well. Minimal friction. So the design, obviously, is to get a high conversion rate. Anyone who studied our conversion sequence knows what we think about when it comes to minimizing friction. The nature and the length of something like a form creates friction, psychological resistance. So we shortened it to the max. But this is control. Let's look at the next one. So now, having shortened that, we decided we would do something just the opposite. At the bottom of the article, before they activate my free trial, we built a feature matrix. By the way, I want you to notice about this. I want you to keep, as you look at all these, we're going to come back and kind of think about them. Clarity, persuasion, what's best. Let's get to that in just a moment. But there is an example of what we did. Now, taking a look at that, let's look at them side by side. There's the control. There's the treatment. Why don't you take a moment right now and use your Q&A feature and tell me which page is the best. I am not trying to trick you, and you better be careful, because most of the time you get it wrong. I've done a bunch of these with you, and I'm seeing a lot of control, 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 treatment, 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 control. All right. Let me see your answers coming in. Control, 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 treatment, treatment, control, control, control. Keep voting. Interesting. All right. Now that you've given me that, I'm going to ask the question to you in a different way. I'm going to open a poll for you. You should be able to see that poll, and I want you to now vote. I wanted to see what you're thinking this way, but now let's look at your vote. Did it reduce conversion rate? Did it increase conversion rate? Did it increase it by less than 59, more than 59? And let me know your thoughts on that. Now, I want to tell you that we've tried really hard to help you with this one to get it right. We want to build up your confidence. So you should be voting on the poll. I'm getting ready to close the poll quickly. All right. Poll is closed. I'm going to show you the results. The more of you that voted, I noticed the number went high and it kept dropping. All right. There's no resounding total in either favor, despite the fact that we announced this clinic as increasing your conversion rate by 59% or more. What are you showing me? Oh, the name of the clinic. Yes, I would think that would be a giveaway for some of you. But whether it was or whether it wasn't, let me help you by showing you the actual numbers. So there's the poll question. All right. I'm giving it a second for everybody to catch up. Treatment page with the feature matrix, increased conversion by 75.89 or 89%. Look at that, 75.89%. Now, think about that for a second, because bear in mind that we're talking about a digital offering. Many of you have digital offerings, subscription offerings. This means that 75% more of the people who saw the Marketing Sherpa free trial would now participate. That is dramatic. By the way, we just ran another test on Marketing Sherpa. If you go to the website and you're not cookied, there's a DHTML kind of pop-up. You want to find out what we've discovered. Watch our blog or upcoming experiments, and we'll tell you more of what we discovered with this. Here's what's fascinating. The reason I use, by the way, Sherpa as an example is because I don't have to worry about showing you the brand or the name. We can make that decision. We love to have these partnerships and relationships where we can share with you the data, because we so want to help you. And it's much easier if you can see the whole thing, see the company, see the name, see the full page. Now, I want to ask you a question, and it's a very important question. I mean, if you go back to the two pages, I know we offered a feature matrix, but the page is a lot longer. Why did the feature matrix produce a higher yield? The answer is probably what you've been learning as we've been talking all along. Clarity trumps persuasion. This added work for anyone who wanted to see the article. It made them at least wade through, skip over, but their eyes had to interact with that chart to understand what to do next. And you would think that might hurt conversion, but instead it had a dramatic impact. Now, lest all of you run out and get feature matrices on your study, I'm getting ready to show you another one with a completely convoluted set of results, so stand by. I just want to keep emphasizing for you that the matrix adds clarity, and clarity trumps persuasion. I'm on to a third case study. After this case study, we're going to start doing live optimization. Jimmy Ellis is with me. Aaron Rosenthal is with me. I think Bob Kemper, the director of sciences, and many more of our team of researchers are involved here. Let's look at case study 3, subscription signups. So Here it is. This is a major hosting provider. They're a major hosting provider, and they're international. And we are doing more and more work around the globe. And if you're international and attending today, welcome to the call. We've got much more coming. We're running multiple experiments now in France and Italy, in the UK. We just finished some earlier. We did in, I think it was Ireland, and we're moving around the world to understand optimization in these other environments. We want to have information that's very helpful for all of you. All right. Now, hello, James. I see that. You're from the UK. Welcome. I'm glad you're joining us. All right. So, and George Ulmer. So let me go on. We performed a test with a web hosting provider offering subscriptions to selected hosting packages. The research objective was to increase conversion to sale and revenue through offer page optimization. Test design was a variable cluster optimization methodology that we teach in our certification program in online testing. With variable cluster, you use a single factorial design like A-B split testing, but you test multiple variables at once. So let's look at the control page and see what we had to test. All right, this is the control page. It'll take just a moment. It'll come up for you, I hope. All right. Now, you'll see that there's a feature matrix on this control page. And if you look carefully at the slide, we've blown it up so you can read it easier. That on the left is the actual web page. On the right is a breakdown of the features, and there are three levels, bronze, silver, and gold. Bronze, silver, and gold. All right. So let's think about that for a second, and let's move on, and let's look at the treatment page. Same page. This time, if you compare them, there's a significant difference. Take a short look, and then I'll show them side by side. Clarity trumps persuasion. Clarity trumps persuasion. All right. Let me back up here. All right, you should see this page and notice how much shorter the bronze, silver, and gold options are, and look for additional clarity on the left-hand side, and then watch other things. Notice that how we've tied this in, several features are explained in more depth when visitors moused over the links. So when you mouse over, suddenly the rest of it pops up, and it makes it easier for them to get the additional information. Everyone follows that? Jimmy Ellis or Aaron, feel free to jump in and talk about any of these that you've worked on with me, okay? Now, let's look at the two side by side. Here's the treatment design with these changes. Shorter, more concise features matrix. Pricing's de-emphasized. New calls to action. Hover over links for more information on key features. Now, remember something. It was just more information. It was not decision necessary information. Very important if you're going to use hover over. And, of course, testimonials. All right. Let's take one more look. All right. I think I could ask you the same question, but everyone here already knows that this treatment got some kind of gain, or you're suspecting that based on the data that I've said thus far. So let me ask you a different question in just a moment, but let me go straight to the numbers. Here's what you need to understand. Treatment page increased conversion by 37.57%. And overall revenue, because remember there's free trials and so on involved, at 39.8%, or 29.8%. Nearly 30%. That's a remarkable increase in revenue, and I would hope to think that anyone on the line would be happy to get a 30% boost, all from simple reduction. Now, I want to talk about clarity before I move on and give you a couple of things that are not in my notes that will probably not even appear in the journal issue that will follow this that may help you. Sometimes the way to achieve clarity is to reduce, is to take away, is to eliminate. When I'm trying to get clarity, the first thing I do in my first pass is I slash everything that I can possibly reduce or take away that might be interfering with clarity to those three questions. Where am I? What can I do here? Or what can you do for me? And then the third question, why should I buy from you? Once I've slashed everything like that, then I go back and say, okay, now, of what is left, what do I need to change to get more clarity? Now, that's a different pass. This is a different series of web edits, so to speak. Now you're saying, well, that headline's not very clear, or that subheadline doesn't connect, or they clicked on a different ad when they came here, and they're not even sure where they're at, so I need to change to where the logo's at. Or change, put the name of the company more predominant, or what's that lost up there in the banner blindness? All of that is the second pass. I change anything that needs to be changed so that I can get clarity. So the first thing is I stripped everything away that didn't need to be there. In the second pass, I changed. Only in the third pass do I add what I absolutely must add to get increased clarity. Now, if you'll think about what we did on the very first case study, the second one with Marketing Sherpa, we had already tested a very short form, stripped away, and then we had changed it. So now what did we do? We simply added what we thought we had to add to achieve greater clarity, which was the feature matrix, and in this case, 75% increase. Does this make sense to everyone? So it's very critical that you remember clarity trumps persuasion. Your pages must communicate your value proposition clearly and answer three questions. Where am I? What is your offer? Why should I participate? When you are answering why should I participate, you're actually stressing your value proposition. In truth, you're answering a more fundamental question, and that is, if I am your ideal customer, why should I purchase from you rather than anyone else? Look at these key obstacles, because we're going to start working on your web pages right now. We're getting ready to go to live optimization. Here's an obstacle. Your page tries to answer the why before the what. Your page presents a solution before the problem is clear. Your page uses presumed authority instead of credibility. Think about those common obstacles. There's much more I could say in this topic, and I could pull out heuristics and sequences and formulas. But for every single person on this call who's taken time out, who's invested to try and learn with us today, I do want to do everything I can to try to give you something you can take away and go back and apply right now. And this applies to your emails as well as your web pages. It applies to your offline print publications as well as your emails. You need to fight, champion, argue for clarity. Now, I'm going to turn the phone call over. I'm going to continue to teach and guide here, but I'm going to ask John to take over the – I sit in front of 10 monitors here as I'm teaching, and I'm going to give the comm chair to John so he can run the presentation of web pages. These are web pages we've never optimized. I've not seen them before, and most of them were selected today. Some of you sent URLs to us, and we did that prior to this call so that we could actually have them loaded. We're going to pull over a web page, look at it with you, start to optimize it live, just like we did for Eric Stevenson in the first illustration. And the goal is to do two things. The goal is to make certain that not only do we help the person who submitted their page, but every person listening is discovering transferable principles that you can take back and apply to your own web page. So I am going to let Jimmy start with the first one, and Aaron then perhaps add in. And I'd rather have dialogue rather than one back and forth, so you guys can talk about this together as you look at this page and try to optimize it. The first page is the New England Journal of Medicine, and you should be able to see it. We're showing it for you now, and it looks like it's step one of five steps. It's very clean. The page is very clean. And now I'm going to let our guys begin to apply the proprietary heuristics that we use and achieve and think about this principle of clarity. As they're doing so, I want to kind of wrap it up by getting transferable principles that will apply to every single person on the line. But before Aaron and Jimmy speak, tell me what you would do, guys, in the audience. They're starting to come in. Value proposition would be nice, somebody says with a bit of sarcasm. What are the benefits? Says someone else. No testimonial, says Amy. Bigger Subscribe says, Frank, too many steps, says Brandon. What am I signing up for? Seems like too many steps. Remove the color. What's interesting is how my audience over the years, and those are not just that listen to these calls, but this information that was first done in our research lab, which I think was really the first on the net that studied this topic, this field, how the IQ in this area of marketers has gone up. The mauve color is distracting, no outline, move benefits to the top, add a call to action. All right, good thinking from the audience. We do read all of your comments and catalog them. I'm going to shift now to Aaron and Jimmy and let them fire away. Gentlemen, go.
Sure, this is Jimmy Ellis. I mean, when I get to this page, the first question I'm going to ask is, and actually you should ask about your end pages, is how did the customer get here in the first place? You know, is this from pay-per-click or another channel? You need to base your landing pages. That's the first step, is base your landing pages on where the customer came from. And that's going to help you understand, am I on the right page? That first question that we're talking about, understanding where the customer is by delivering a landing page that is directly relevant to how they found your actual website or your landing page. Once I get here, I think that probably the biggest flaw that I see on this particular page is that the reasons for buying, all the valuable information, is actually below the call to action. I know that there were some comments submitted pertaining to that. So all of the information that's going to help you get that clarity to make a decision if you want to subscribe or not is actually below what they're asking you to do at the very top of the page. And so,
yeah.
You know, obviously, in terms of – go ahead, Aaron.
Just to reemphasize exactly what Jimmy was saying, you really want to know the motivation when somebody comes to this landing page. So understand where they're coming from, and that may help you tailor your landing pages to that market. You're going to have different landing pages depending upon what the user has experienced. You may have a very highly motivated segment, and you don't have to sell them as hard with all the benefits for subscribing. Maybe they know the benefits. They're familiar with the New England Journal of Medicine. You don't have to sell them quite as hard. But for those people that are not quite as motivated, may not know exactly what the New England Journal of Medicine has to offer, then you absolutely want to meet them with the value proposition. Really, why should I be subscribing to the New England Journal of Medicine? And back them up with all the benefits and drive them through the lead process. Now, the one thing I would suggest here is you're not capturing a piece of information to allow you to remarket to this individual if they abandon throughout the process. And when I say remarket to them, what I'm talking about is a customer support recovery message. Whether you're capturing an email, a phone number, it's an ability for you to get back to that person who was once interested in this product, who has not fulfilled the lead or the sale on your site.
All right, so let me just – I want you guys to continue because I want you to reduce this to a set of four or five key actionables, and I'm going to move to a new page as fast as possible so that everyone here can experience as many models as we can present to help you. But I would want to answer those three questions. Does this page adequately answer where – am I at? Now, before these guys answer, I want to point out that what Aaron just said is very important, because when you click in, Jimmy said the same thing, from a channel, you have an expectation. The chain of thoughts is already underway. The sequence of thoughts has already begun. I have an expectation. I click on a link. I arrive at this page. If the page does not match my expectation, you just lost me. You have site flow interrupt, and you've lost me. So what's important now is that as soon as I get here, I know. And we're on the subscribe piece, so they may be coming from somewhere deeper in the site itself, but they've begun the subscribe piece. They need to know, where am I at? The next question is, what can I do here? Is that clear? And the third one is, why should I participate? So thinking about that framework, guys, let's actually give each of you – Jimmy, give me five things you would change, and then Aaron, you fill in any gaps you think you missed.
Do something really quick for me, Flint, or have John click on that professional category drop-down real fast.
All right.
See what's there. Okay, so physician, student, resident, or other individual. So here's how here's part of my five things. The first thing I'd do is, if you knew what any of those people were before they got to this page, if it was a student, a professional, whatever, I would absolutely include that in the headline. So it would say something like, set up your subscription to the New England Journal of Medicine student edition or professional edition, something that instantly tells them, hey, I'm on the right page, this is about me, this is how I start
setting
up this process. The
second so there's one.
To move the benefits above the actual call to action or to duplicate it. The other thing you can do is like you take that same exact set, put it below that chart just to make sure when someone is at that, ready to make that decision, the actual call to action is right there in front of them. On this particular page, once you get through the benefits, you probably wouldn't be able to see the actual call to action at the top of the page. I would include an actual real headline because this site actually doesn't have a headline. The select country
residents, Jimmy,
personal categories next to the stuff.
Yeah, it's just kind of hidden up there in the banner.
Yep.
Any headline above the box is lost.
Yep.
You know what the headline is for this page? I'll tell you what the real headline is. This information is used to determine appropriate currency and cost of your subscription. That is the page's headline. And therein lies an awful weakness. But keep going, gentlemen. All right, so we've named two. We need to get five, and we need to move to the next page. Keep going.
I would absolutely add some sort of incentive on this page in terms of, you know, save over 40% off the regular price, something that gives them a reason to continue. Right now, besides just finding the currency of their subscription, it's really not giving me any other reasons to click to the next step. I don't see any kind of testimonials or credibility indicators. Obviously, it's New England Journal of Medicine, so they have some credibility. But if you were to give me a little note from an actual customer that says, "Wow, I never knew I could get access to so much archived information that really helped me with my research paper," something like that is going to help tie into the value of the service to get them to the next step.
All right. I'm going to do my job and pull out a principle from what Jimmy said that applies to everyone. If you're out there, I want these guys to give actual advice to the site, and I want to keep communicating principles that will impact your model. Every single page of the order process should be selling. You do not sell. They click buy, and then you're done. Your selling must continue, and this page has benefits of subscribing added as a footnote in a squared box with a terrible iPath. And in doing so, it has minimized the heavy lifting that must really be done on every page. It's a core principle that you should keep in mind no matter what your site is, even if you're not a subscription site, even in a demand generation form process. Move on. Next.
If in any way possible to literally remove this particular call to action, the professional category and country region, I'm just not sure if that is at this point. They're asking them to figure out their currency and cost before they really get started. I would take this information and put it later in the process, maybe as part of the when you actually order the product or you have to enter credit card information included on that page. But I wouldn't start by nailing down their price. I would start by getting them more interested or starting the sign-up process, something that could keep them moving that's not going to kind of scare them away. So I'm not sure what the rest of the pages look like. So let's go to the next page if we can.
I think we're going to have to go to a new site. Aaron, you go ahead and add
a couple things real quick. You prep me for this is going to be a long process with the step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
Consolidate as many steps as possible. You're going to get a higher click-through. You're going to get a higher conversion rate. What you want to look for is how much what your abandon rate is, how many people you're losing on each one of those steps. Consider testing a free trial with this product. New England Journal of Medicine, you've got an established brand. You're very credible, but you may want to test different channels with the free trial. I think it cleans up a lot of the problems that Jimmy's having on this step where you're having to determine your appropriate currency and cost. And the final thing is the benefits for subscribing are great. I would definitely move them to the top, but look at your channels and determine the motivation of the people that are coming to this page. You may need to have different versions of this landing page for each segment of the market. You may not need that many benefits for each segment, and you may find that you have to try a free trial segment versus your standard offer with your more traditional segments.
All right. I've got to move us on. I hope you find this helpful. There's much more that I would do in this process, but this is really good advice. The only thing I would add that's transferable for all of you is that there is no dialogue. Dialogue should have begun on the other page and continue on these pages, adding bullet points in a box, equally weighted, side by side, is essentially a two-column scenario, and there's no conversation here. You're just shooting bullets at them, which is the wrong way to continue people through the process in a relational fashion, and that's what you need in order to prove conversion. Done properly, it's incredibly effective. Having said all of that, we're going to move to a new one. I'm moving to another URL right now, and we want you to take a look at ShareFile, where companies connect. All right, so here's ShareFile. We don't know anything about them. We haven't talked to these people. We've just been sent this URL, and we're loading it up. We're going to deal with it right now. We're going to be thinking, again, clarity trumps persuasion. Now, tell me what you would do about this page. So I'm talking to my audience now. Use your Q&A feature and talk to me. What needs to happen? All right. Sign up button is too small. Drop one of the introductory paragraphs. Single column for all text. Too many exit pages. No sign up boxes. Reduce the image. Wasted real estate at the top of the page. Collect some customer info on this page. Someone else says love it. Lower trust marks and raise free trial button. Paragraph is heavy. Text is too long. All right. I'm listening to your advice, hoping that'll help anyone else that's listening also from this actual site. Let's help these people at ShareFile. Gentlemen, I want to do the same thing again. I only want you to speak a little faster. I don't want to go so fast the audience can't learn, but I want to keep the pace moving. And I will, with your permission, I'll just stop in and pull out transferable principles for the whole audience. You guys take the site apart, okay? So go for it. Aaron, you start us this time, and Jimmy, join in as needed.
Okay. Well, the first thing I would point to is you're hiding the headline in the logo. You've got this – you're wasting a lot of screen real estate on this this fancy computer image and some background graphics. And in there, you're saying share large business files more easily, professionally, and securely than FTP. Then I get down to the actual – then I get down to a few text links and some copy here. I would look at an approach that did not waste as much screen real estate with the actual banner, used the real headline, and then drove me into the copy. You're having to use a subheadline to pull them back into the copy because you've got all this real estate that's breaking this up, and I lose the impact of the headline there. That said, you've got a free trial. Your headline should scream that you have a free trial here. Wait, before you leave, we've got a free trial on this product. I'm trying to see how we do this. Free trial, share large business files, free software to share large business files more easily, professionally, and securely than FTP, and then drive them through the copy. Only use what's necessary. Don't oversell. It's a free trial. And collect an email on this page. You're making them click through to go to the next step before you actually get a bit of personal information from them. So whether it's a name, an email, whatever you're making them do to sign up for the free trial, accomplish that on the first page. You've got some good credibility indicators over on the right-hand side in the testimonial on the nav. A couple things that I might suggest are whenever you use testimonials, if they're real testimonials and they're good and they're from an individual, use as much personal information about that individual in the testimonial. It makes it feel more credible. It makes it feel real. If it's a third-party credibility indicator, for example, you've got a CNET winner, I would consider using if they wrote up a little an article or even just a little blurb on you, I would quote them because that's going to be more powerful than just slapping a logo over on the right-hand side at first glimpse. I don't know that that's from CNET, and I don't know how trustworthy that credibility indicator is. A couple other things that are just kind of breaking up the flow of this page. You're wrapping boxes around each one of these elements, and it's kind of breaking it up into separate. It's like digestible chunks. It makes it very difficult for me to get through this in a single view. I've got the banner, and then I've got a sub. Your logo information, and then I've got a navigation that I have to get through. All of this is before I get to the real meat, the copy on about your site, and then eventually the free trial sign up, which you can make it big. You can test making it bigger. I heard that that comment. One thing that I would consider doing is test moving it underneath the body. Right now, it's on the right-hand side, along with the all the other elements in the navigation. The bottom right-hand side is the last element that a user naturally visits on the landing page. They go from top to bottom, left to right. So you're putting that in the worst position on the actual landing page. What you're asking them to do is you're asking the button to overcompensate for that. So you put it underneath your primary body copy. Don't make them search for it. And I think it'll be more in the eye path and attract more people.
All right, let me just back out there for a second. We need to move to another site rapidly. It was really good counsel. I want to make a comment or two to get this as transferable as possible. But Jimmy Ellis, is there anything you want to hit us with real quick before I wrap this piece?
No, I mean, the one thing I would do, just as a great test, would be to take your sign up for a free trial, that button. I would just take the free trial and put it on this page if you can. I'm not sure how long that form is, but if there's any way you can reduce the number of steps and see if that strategy would work better. A lot of times, by embedding the form on this page and not making them click, you'll get at least a handful more free trial subscribers.
All right, so let's look at
this. On the next page, and it looks like all they're asking for, at least on the first step, is name and email. So absolutely test
it. Oh, yeah, man.
Combine it. It'll make a huge difference. And you want that email address so you can do follow-up marketing and recovery. As we all learn, it's a best practice. We pioneered research in this area many years ago, and now it's become kind of standard. If you'll look at the top, I want to point out a couple of other quick thoughts and then give you guys a list of things that are listening right now that you can apply back to your own website. Number one, don't stack your headline in red in three lines as you have done here. Red on white is, first of all, a very bad headline choice color based on testing. Number two, when you stack it three deep, a single headline, it becomes very difficult to read. You cannot instantly grasp what this paragraph is saying. There is, it is not clear. You have to go back and look at it twice. This would be a much better headline if you had, say, one powerful line and then a good subheader that explained, which would accomplish what Aaron was trying to say at the beginning. This is something all of you can apply to your own site if you have that problem. Another principle is minimize nav on the core offer page. And that's been talked about in several ways. But I would think about that and what I'm doing with my own page. A third thing is I think there may be too many red check marks down here, too many items down here. 3 to 5 things, if they're right, should be enough to persuade someone to take a free trial. Don't make them work too hard to understand what it is or why it is they should consider your offering. Some of these other things can be added on other pages within the process or added in subsequent support information that they can click on to get, you know, hyperlink text support that doesn't take them off of that page. Aaron has made a very important point about email, and Jimmy as well, in terms of getting email capture on the page itself. I don't like to sign up for free trial on the far right-hand side. I want it to flow laterally with the sign-up button underneath the process so my thoughts are sequential and linear, and I move in order right down to the sign-up for free trial. The button should be underneath the blocks of text on the left, and it should have something written underneath the button that's an extra kicker for them to click on it. You know, so especially if you're going to ask for the email address, you may have to, we promise to protect your privacy statement, but better yet would be an added benefit underneath the red button in text, small, but written underneath that to just help get them through to the next level. So think about all of that. The other issue is, you see your credibility, you see your Trust E certified privacy and BB online reliability program, totally, completely useless, wasted on this page. Now, if it sounds like I'm disagreeing with my colleagues, I'm not, because they would say the same thing. They're exceptional indicators, and that 2008 winner, WebWare 100, it should be on this page. But somebody right now on the line, use your browser and tell me why Trustee shouldn't be on this page, why the Better Business Bureau one should not be on this page. Tell me why they don't belong here. No, somebody said bragging, but that's not right. You're not bragging. They're bragging about you. That's perfectly good. Let them brag. These are the kinds of credibility indicators that you want. Somebody else telling them you're good. Okay, you're starting to get it, some of you in my audience. Remember, this is a sequence of thoughts. At the present moment, they are not committed enough to be worried about whether or not you have Trustee certified privacy or you're the BB online reliability.
They're not buying anything.
You move those. You move those to that part in the thought process when they're actually worried about such issues. Remember what I said about answering a problem or a question before it's been asked? You're answering a question that hasn't been asked yet. At some point in the process, they're going to ask a different question. They're going to ask, is it safe to make this purchase? That's a fourth question. It's not the top three when they hit your page, but they are going to ask, is this safe in most cases? Sometimes that's a small question. Sometimes it's a big question. You have to overcorrect the anxiety associated with that. And one of it is, you know, Keys is using these third-party credibility indicators. Hopefully that's helping others of you that have your own website right now that can apply the same thing to your own situation. We're going to go. Let's see. We have 3 minutes. We're going to use our 3 minutes. If you'll stay with me and not click away, I'll take the last 3 minutes and use them real hard to help you. I'm going to go to one last one, Control-C. I can't use both Jimmy and Aaron. So, Jimmy, you're first, AmericanBanker.com. We're at the register for trial now and receive. This is the step. We're looking at the process. It should be live for you guys. Please look at it. Jimmy, give me a top list fast for the audience and think about something that will help everyone listening.
All right, you're saying, you said register for a trial now. The thing is, I'm scanning the page. I see it's a free trial. You absolutely have to use free trial. Another bad word is register. No one likes the word register. It basically communicates you giving your personal information instead of receiving access to something. So you could say set up your free trial now and receive, or set up your free trial for X and you'll get these things, and you have those bullets. Those bullets are not very effective. The reason is I can't scan those very well. I see three gray ones and then four smaller ones. There's no space in between them. There's no highlighted text or bolded text. I can't really scan it. I have to read every single word. It looks like a paragraph instead of bullets, so the bullets aren't effective anymore. You have your step one for a free trial. That's actually really good. Your three steps, I'm looking down the form. Okay, do you need this many fields?
Can I interrupt you real quick?
Yep,
can I interrupt you? Yeah. When you go step one for free trial, it's really good, and I get down to the trial type, select the trial type, that's fine. But promotional code, what is a promotional code? I'm getting a free trial. I don't understand this.
Well said, Aaron. Again, this is Siteflow Interrupt. You're asking me to put a code in for a free trial, which indicates, A, this is something I'm actually going to have to pay for, or B, I'm on the wrong page, which leads to, in philosophy, it's the if-then. If this is what you put here, then it's likely you're going to have Siteflow Interrupt, and you're going to lose people at that process, right there at that step. Guys, I want to say more, but I'm telling you, I think we have to stop. It's 4 o'clock, and I know many people in the audience. Jimmy, one statement, and I'm going to have to wrap this up. Go ahead.
I would just say simplify every single piece of information on this form that you can. Just make it as short and simple as possible. And right now, there's a lot of information on here.
Absolutely. There's a lot more that we would say. I don't like the boxes either. They hurt you. But we won't go through that. I'm talking about the box outlines. But in either case, I'm hoping that today's call has helped you. Would you please, before you log away, would you write us right now using the Q&A and tell us what you liked most about the call today or how we can make it better? And if you found it helpful, would you please tell a friend about this? Because the only way – just take me to the last slide. The only way that we can do this, we do all of this at no charge. It's millions of dollars worth of research. You can get it on our website. But if you'll tell someone about it, we can help more people and kind of form a community who are learning all of this together. Thank you for your trust. We'll be back again in 2 weeks with more of our latest experiments. You may want to visit our blog at Marketing Experiments because it has lots of updates on ongoing experiments as well. Thank you again, and we'll be back again in 2 weeks.